Over January, we're going to be looking at various psalms, the first of which is Psalm 46, and in parallel, we're going to be reading through 1 Thessalonians. So we've looked at read the first chapter today, but not commenting necessarily on 1 Thessalonians. I wonder, as we look at Psalm 46, what sort of things you fear? What makes you anxious? What makes you nervous? Perhaps some of the items on the news sometimes do. Perhaps it's drought or politics. Perhaps it's health, your own or others. It might be depression. It might be the fate of your children or what's going on in their lives that you don't have anything control of as they've grown up and make their own decisions. I'll show you a picture. Just before Christmas, Kate and I went on a bushwalk to a place called the Drawing Room Rocks. A beautiful spot, but at the beginning of the track, it gave this warning. I don't know if you can read it, but it tells you all the things you must take on this bushwalk. You must have a GPS, you must have closed-in footing, you must have this, you must have that. It's very dangerous and you're going to fall off the cliff and die. It's a very stern warning, and we arrived at this bushwalk with nothing but a Coles bag to carry our drink bottles in and ready for a lovely stroll. It was a beautiful bushwalk. An amazing spot. I forgot to get the photo of us at the end, which is the highlight. But it's a beautiful spot where there's these, it's almost like a natural set of tables to sit at, because there's flat surfaces everywhere and then the rock is eroded away in between. So you walk in between these tabletops and it's right on the edge of a cliff. So you can sit on these tabletops, put your food on the next one, and sit there, have a picnic, looking over the edge of the cliff. It's a beautiful spot and a brilliant walk, but it is hard. It is a tough walk. And we were sitting there and we watched the mist and the cloud roll up the valley. And it actually reminded us of why that sign needed to be so drastic. Because both Kate and I can recount stories of getting lost on bushwalks and being perilously unprepared. Have you been to the castle near Pigeon House Mountain ever? There's an incredible spot. But Kate was lost and spent 3 days navigating her way home from the castle once. And I remember going up there and sleeping overnight with a friend and waking up in the pouring rain. And the castle is a plateau with cliffs all the way around and only one way down. You have to find that spot and the ropes to climb down on. But it was pelting down with rain. It was only that my friend and I found some other bushwalkers that knew what they were doing that we actually made it down from the castle. So anyway, sometimes we don't realise the danger we're in. Sometimes we need a warning. Other times we're anxious and all too concerned. But Psalm 46 is a psalm of comfort and confidence. That whatever we might face in life, we know that God is with us. Psalm 46 reminds us that Christmas lasts all year. One of my lecturers at Moore College calls it the Emmanuel Psalm. Emmanuel means God with us. You've all been singing your Christmas carols. Emmanuel, God with us. And God isn't just with us at Christmas time, but verse 1 of Psalm 46, he is an ever-present help in trouble. He's always with us. God is our strength and our refuge. Psalm 46 is a national psalm of confidence that the nation of Israel would sing together. Kylie didn't read for us the introduction, but it says there, for the director of music of the sons of Korah, who were probably Levitical priests who helped lead corporately the community in worship of God, according to Alamoth, who knows what that means, that might be the tune that it was sung to, a song. And so this was something to be sung, a hymn to sing together. You see that also by the plural. God is our refuge and strength. When you get to verse 7 and verse 11, the refrains, the Lord Almighty is with us, the God of Jacob is our fortress. It's a communal song to sing together, to encourage one another, to remind each other, God is our strength and our refuge. This is a crazy world we live in, and a crazy, unpredictable earth that we inhabit. Sometimes we get too little rain, sometimes far too much. And during this year, we've experienced, and the past few, a devastating drought, particularly in eastern New South Wales. There's an image here which shows the change in vegetation across 2 years in Australia as a consequence of this drought. It really is enormous. And we might be insulated from its consequences by our supermarkets importing goods internationally, but that has a long-term impact if our local capacity to feed ourselves is diminished, then we become reliant internationally. And what happens when there's a drought over there? All sorts of, you know, potential. We don't necessarily realise the difficulties we go through. We don't necessarily realise how utterly dependent we are on God and on this earth for our survival, for our health, for our good. Most of the time we feel insulated from these vagaries of the weather, but there are days like today, aren't there, where you just don't feel like going outside, where you realise we are actually quite dependent on the weather. We've experienced many pretty dramatic storms during December. And the psalmist is reflecting on just that sort of thing as he describes the earth giving way, the mountains falling into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. And the psalmist is reflecting on just the power of nature, the power of God's creation that we are at the mercy of, completely at the mercy of. Sometimes we don't realise it. In biblical imagery and for the nation of Israel, the sea represents chaotic and uncontrollable power. And it's the same for us. You're taking your life in your hands out in the ocean. Perhaps sometimes on the earth as well. But it's certainly true for the nation of Israel. Kate and I have been dreaming and planning of an overseas holiday for years. And it's coming. This July, we're going to visit her brother in England. And also we're going to go to Norway. And in order to get ourselves excited about this trip to Norway, we thought, let's find a Norwegian film to watch. We found this one called The Wave, and it's about a famous tourist fjord near Geringer, I don't know if I'm saying that right, and the threat of a mountain falling into the sea there and causing an enormous tidal wave and wiping this tourist town out. It was a great movie to watch if thinking about going to Norway, and there's a picture of it, Peter, if you don't mind pulling it up, about how the whole town just about gets destroyed, and about the dramatic, it's a disaster movie, you know, one of those classic disaster movies, except with a bit of taste, a Norwegian style one instead of a Hollywood one. It's a great movie, but, you know, maybe watch it after you go to Norway, not before. But we need to realise, you know, just how dependent we are on this earth, how out of control the environment we live in is sometimes. And as the psalmist reflects on the power of the sea and the mountains and how small we are in comparison, he's reflecting on, you know, that sort of crazy disaster movie, the worst case scenario. He says, even if that happens, we don't need to fear. Why? Because God is our refuge and strength. So if you read the first three verses together, we'll see the comfort that God brings by his presence. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. Can you imagine in that scenario not being afraid? No. And I'm sure the psalmist would be afraid, but he's just saying, yeah, I'd be scared, but I would still have comfort in God. I would know that his love and his presence with me were not endangered even by something like that. You might have experienced during 2018 some devastating moments where you felt out of control, either in nature or in other circumstances. But God's love for and presence with you were never in danger. And though you might fear, it's not a fear of everything, because you will always have God with you. Now, the Israelites, they remember being rescued from the sea before, and this is a theme, isn't it? I've got a picture here of Moses parting the sea. The Israelites know that God is in control of the tumultuous waters. As he parted the sea and they went through on dry land, and in so doing, rescued them from their enemies from Egypt. And Egypt then succumbed to the sea, which collapsed back over the top of them. And that's a transition, really, into the next few verses, which reflect not on natural threats, but on political threats or the enemies, the nations. And verse 4 begins with a huge contrast to verse 3. If you've got your Bible there, or if there's one nearby, you open it up to Psalm 46 and see what I'm talking about. Verse 3, the waters roar and foam. The mountains quake with their surging. Verse 4, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. Think of the peace and calm of that river. Close your eyes and imagine sitting by a bubbling brook in the shade of some glorious tree that is fed by it. And that's the image of verse 4, isn't it? The life-giving stream. It's the image from Eden, where the rivers flowing out of Eden water the entire earth and bring life. It's the image of Revelation 22, where the river of the water of life runs through the new city of Jerusalem between the two trees of life, which are bearing fruit every month for people to eat from and have their fill. It is the life-giving stream. And what does that river represent? It represents God's presence with his people. And so the Israelites, as they sing Psalm 46 together, are not just finding comfort in God's presence, but they know that when they are in the city of God, God is with them. He is there with them. And so they're comforted by his presence. Verse 5, God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. So the city of God is stable and at peace and comfort because of God's presence in her. This is the Israelites reflecting on the nation of Israel, the city of Jerusalem. And they know they are comforted by God's presence with them. They are secure in that city. And as you contrast that with the outside world in verse 6, nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall, he lifts his voice, the earth melts. As US and Russia and China battle to see who will be the superpower in the next millennium, God is in control. As the Australian Prime Minister spills and changes and political forces machinate around our nation that seem like who knows where it's going to go and what impact it will have on us and what kind of immorality our nation is going to fall into, as all that takes place, God is in control. It's not like things are running crazy and God's pulling his hair out. I didn't expect this was going to happen. God is in control. And as the Israelites sung Psalm 46, they saw that and they knew it. They knew that God is not just powerful over nature, but powerful over nations, over politics, over all that's going on in the human world. For the Israelites, the great comfort was knowing that God was with them in their midst. He had rescued them out of the Exodus, and Psalm 46 actually has a lot of parallels with the song of Moses and Miriam from Exodus 15. When you get home, it might be worth reading Exodus 15 along with Psalm 46 just to see how much it is picked up. But the good news here is that we don't rely on our Prime Minister or Donald Trump or Vladimir Putin for our safety and for the security of the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. There's actually a lot of parallels between the first stanza and the second stanza of this poem. Whilst the sea roars and foams and mountains fall, we find then in verse 6, nations are in uproar and kingdoms fall. There's roaring and falling. There's that chaos in nature. There's the chaos in politics and the nations. But alongside that is the peace, the calm, the comfort of God's presence that is in control of all of that, and that gives us confidence to not be fearful. The final stanza then, that begins in verse 8, is a call to respond to God and a summing up of his place as the maker and ruler of the earth. Sometimes it's easy for us to focus our eyes on our fears, and we then are filled with worry and anxiety. Do you know what the best strategy for walking a tightrope is? You might not have cause to use this information, but anyway, I'll give it to you. When you're walking a tightrope, don't look down. Don't look to the side. Don't look over there. Don't look where you're going to fall, but look ahead where you're going. Focus in front of you. It's the same when you're kayaking or rowing a boat or things like that. You've got to fix your eyes ahead, don't you? And so we can take great comfort and assurance in God, knowing that he's in control, and fix our eyes on him. Doesn't mean we block out and ignore the dangers at our side or below us. We need to engage with what's going on in the world and be real and sober-minded and honest about what's happening around us and the risks and the dangers and the suffering and the hardship. But if we look ahead to God, if he is our strength and our refuge, then we'll find comfort in him through good and hard times. In verse 8 we read, "Come and see." This is the call to action for us. Come and see what the Lord has done. The desolations he's brought on the earth. He's more powerful than tidal waves, than falling mountains. He's more powerful than warring nations. Come and see the desolation he's brought on the earth. But he doesn't use that power to bring about destruction. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. You think you've seen power in nature? You've seen nothing. You think you've seen power in politics and war? You've seen nothing. Come and see what the Lord has done. The awesome power of Yahweh sent the Egyptians to their destruction, brought a flood upon the earth by preserving only Noah and his family and the animals. He created the earth and the universe out of nothing. This is the God we worship and serve. This is the God who is with us. Therefore, we do not fear. We need to fix our eyes on God, not on the twin fears of natural and political threats to our safety and livelihood that come up in this psalm. Verse 10 summarises, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." Did you notice there that the two threats to security, the earth and the nations, the natural forces and the political forces, are here turned to praise of God? "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." The earth now submits to God and recognises its creator, and we see that as Christ walks on water, calms the storm, and the nations do God's bidding. We see that throughout the biblical history as he uses nations to judge others and to bring about his purposes. And we'll see it finally on the last day, as every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, as God, Jesus Christ, returns in judgment to bring justice. Every knee will bow and submit to him. So what should our response be? "Therefore we do not fear." Well, we will fear sometimes. There will be terrible things happen in our lives. There will be trouble. The psalm almost assumes that there will be trouble. But in those times of trouble, we find comfort in God and we know he is with us throughout whatever circumstances. The second response, therefore, be still and know that God is in charge. We can be calm and know that God is with us, that he is God. He is more powerful than the forces at work that cause us anxiety and fear. But we also need to understand this Jewish psalm from a Christian perspective. How does Jesus fulfill it? How does that shape the way we read it? This is a psalm that the Israelites perhaps sometimes misunderstood. And the prophets warned them, don't just have confidence because you're in the city of Jerusalem thinking this city will never fall. While ever God is in it, it won't. That's what the psalm promises, isn't it? But the Israelites started to have confidence in their nation, in their city itself, rather than the God who dwelled within it and the God who gave it, who provided it. And so the prophets warned them, look out, judgment will come. And eventually Ezekiel declared, God's spirit has left. And down went Jerusalem, the city. Big mistake. We need to be careful that we don't trust just in the things God has given us. That we don't get complacent thinking, I'm in the church. The church will never fall. Well, the church will never fall because God is in it. And we need to place our trust not in the church, not in me, not in each other, not in a place, not in the gifts God has given us, but in God himself. For he is with us. And therein lies our comfort and security and assurance. There may be times when our church floods. Don't place your security in this place. There may be times where our homes are destroyed, flooded, burned, cars destroyed by hail. Who knows what will happen? We will not be insulated from that. And when that harm is caused, or relationships or health hurt us, we will grieve. We will be vulnerable, we will be in danger, but we will not lose our trust and hope in God and the fact that he is with us. We have confidence in him no matter what the circumstance, because God is with us. Whether today or tomorrow or in 50 years, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Let me lead us in prayer. Lord, as 2018 comes to a close, we praise you for your faithfulness to us this year and every year, and pray that you would help us to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who has demonstrated your love for us and promised and given us assurance by his death on the cross and rising to new life for the forgiveness of our sins. May we place our trust and hope, may we find our security in him, God with us. And so, fixing our eyes on him, strengthen us to endure and get through whatever 2019 might throw at us. We look forward to and rejoice in the good times to come. We are anxious about the difficulties that might come our way. But we pray through the midst of it all that we might know your strength and comfort and rely on you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.